When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world. Today, we're going to have music from Stephanie, and then stay tuned for a message, and then more music.
We really hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Well, the song that we're about to play is called You Are My Hiding Place, and it talks about how we can always go to God and take our refuge in Him.
Thank you.
Skinner, we hope you enjoy this part as much as you enjoyed part one. Thank you.
Did you ever work in any other kind of setting other than the children's hospital?
Well, I was a nurse for 30 years before that.
Okay.
And for 5 years, the last 5 years of my nursing, I was a hospice nurse.
Okay.
So I learned during that time that death is okay and acceptance of it before learning to accept it and learning to just enjoy whatever happens and to accept what God gives us is just the most important thing, because life as it is and death is all a part of living.
Yes. So how do you feel that being a chaplain in the children's hospital is different than working in other settings?
Well, it's a place of love and joy and hope, as every place is, but children are just beautiful. They always have a big smile on their face, and they get through a lot of painful stuff, and they just throw up and then they run to the playroom to play, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, we adults, when we're sick and going through chemotherapy, we just lay around and complain about it, but not the kids. You know, they have their chemotherapy. They go to their room and they throw up from the chemotherapy, and then they're off to the playroom to play. they're just great. They are. They're just great. So you just do everything that you can to get them through it, and then you just, you know, get them back up and get them back running around, you know. It's just so fun. And that's how it is, you know. And as far as the parents, they are going through a lot because it's hard for them to pick themselves back up again.
Would you say it's harder for them than the kids?
Oh, yeah. Much, much harder for them. And they're the ones that you've got to pick them up, and you've got to hold them up, and you got to be praying harder for them, you know.
Right.
And you got to be pushing them and giving them much more hope, you know. And that's okay, you know.
Yeah.
That's okay. As hard as it is, you know, that's what you're there for. You're there to bridge the gap between them, their pain, and God, you know. Mm-hmm. And I found that I spent a lot of time telling the parents that it was okay to be mad at God, because it is. It's okay for them to be angry at God for letting their child be sick.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if I tell them it's okay, then they'll, you know, take their pain out at him, and then they'll get better.
Uh-huh.
And that's a good thing.
Do you have any stories about how parents maybe came around and changed for the better?
Yeah. There was this one lady, she was just so angry. She didn't really want to talk about God. And so I told her, I said, you know, I know you're hurting. And I know you're mad at God. No, I'm not. Okay, well, you know, let's just pretend that you're mad at God. You know, it's okay for you to go to him and say, you know, God, I'm mad at you, but I love you. But I don't understand how things go, God, you know, with kids getting sick and stuff, but I don't like it. I don't like him being sick, but God, I really, really would appreciate if you get him better. I love you. I love him. Please help him. So, you know, just talk to him like that. He's not going to be mad at you. God's got big shoulders. He can take it. You know, he can take your anger. You can even take the pillow and punch the pillow.
God understands that it's hard for us to understand all that's going on.
Yeah, he does. He understands that we're confused. You know, we're confused at all this. And he can take it. And then, when I saw her a couple weeks later, she said to me, she said, you know what? I was talking to God about my anger with him. And, you know, then all of a sudden, I almost felt his arms around me.
Wow.
And then I just relaxed, and I knew that he loved me, and I knew that he didn't do this.
Wow,
and my
that's
son
great.
Is getting better. Yeah. And she said, I'm so glad you told me it was okay.
Well, how did you feel God calling you into the chaplaincy?
I was dropping my son off at the dance studio. Or, no, he was singing with the boys choir. And I told God what was happening. I had kind of messed up when I was a nurse. I had kind of messed up with talking to a doctor. And uh-huh. I told God, I said, God, I swear if you make this better and you make the doctor not be mad at me, I'll become a minister like you said you wanted me to do. Because he had called me to be a minister when I was at a Bible study. And I looked around and I thought, oh, he must be talking to somebody else, you know? He's got to be, they're much better people than I am, you know? I mean, I stutter and I stumble and I say the wrong words, you know? He can't be asking me. So about a half an hour after I said that to him, I get the phone call from the doctor, and I told the doctor, I said, doctor, I admitted this patient to the hospice unit, and I did it before I was able to get you to tell me to do it, and I'm sorry, I really am, but she really needed to go there. And he said, ah, that's fine, you did a good job. Yeah, I'll call them and give the okay, you're fine. So everything turned out good.
Great.
So I hung up, and I'm like, uh-oh, God. I promised you I'd become a minister now. Now I got to do it. That'll teach me for telling you that I'd do something, you know, if you made it okay. I never thought the doctor would say it was okay. All right, God. All right, now I got to become a minister. But I didn't know. I knew that I didn't want to be a minister in a church because I'm afraid of getting up in front of people. You know, I don't like talking in front of a whole bunch of big people. So then all of a sudden, yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, I heard about the chaplaincy where you do it in a hospital. And I had been working in hospitals as a nurse for years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I thought, well, I can do that. So I heard about HCMA from someone at my church. And I said, now there is a Christian organization that teaches you the chaplaincy program, gives you the certification. This is perfect. I had heard about another organization that teaches the chaplaincy.
Uh-huh.
But they were kind of connected with other types of people.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't feel as comfortable with that one.
Right, right. I know what you mean.
So I decided to sign up with HCMA. And I was so glad that I did because I have loved it.
Now, what's happening with this COVID in the children's hospital? How's that affecting everybody?
Well, it's been pretty rough. It made it so that there could not be any other visitors than one parent.
Uh-huh.
So that's made it very, very difficult. But it has also kept the children much more safe. Safe so that there isn't a chance that people with COVID could bring it to the children.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just wondering, have you ever met any blind children in the hospital?
There haven't been too many blind children. But
uh-huh.
There have been a lot of children with many disabilities.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Are there any stories that you have about them?
Oh, yeah. There are so many special children in the hospital, and it's just wonderful to meet with them. The Children's Hospital works very well with special children. Actually, I did meet two different children with that were blind, and the I forgot what they're called, but the chaplaincy works very well with the special group that works with all of the special children. They have lots and lots of books that the children can use to read.
Braille books.
Yep. To read in Braille. Mm-hmm. Anything that any special children need,
sure.
we have a group that has everything that they need, you know, Braille books or special toys or anything that any children need as far as, you know, special things. Well, we have the phones for the people that don't speak English, so that the phones, we can have any languages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Any languages. It's amazing, amazing. And then, of course, for people that don't have arms or legs, kids that don't have arms or legs or anything like that. And then, of course, special wheelchairs, all kinds of special wheelchairs and all that sort of stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah, yeah. So, you name it, we have it. It is just amazing. It's just really, really cool. Yeah.
Very cool, yeah.
Well, I was just wondering, lastly, how do you think we can pray for chaplains the best?
On a daily basis, if everybody can just bow their heads and pray for all chaplains of anywhere, any place that they might be working. You know, there are chaplains in hospices, there are chaplains in jails, there are chaplains in
children's homes.
Corporate offices there are. Because I have my boss at Phoenix Children's Hospital, he used to work at a corporate office, but there's children's homes also, adoption homes also. You know, you name it. There are so many different places that there are chaplains, and it's just pray for chaplains all over, and I pray for chaplains in the world. You know, because there's chaplains all over too. And just pray for them all, because the work that chaplains do is just wonderful work. And it's, you know, the pay is not the greatest, or it can be, you know, fairly good. It's all depending on where they are. I'm sure the corporate offices might be a little bit better than hospitals and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it all depends. But the most important thing is that we pray for them to have the spiritual abilities that are needed to be able to reach the people that they're working with. And something that's very, very important is that chaplains will take their pain and suffering home.
Yes.
Yeah, they sure will.
Yeah. And so that is something that you want to pray for them.
Yes, definitely.
I learned a long time ago as a nurse that when I would drive home from work, I would pretend like I was writing on a chalkboard all of the pain and the things that I had seen that was bothering me. I would pretend like I was writing it on a chalkboard. And then as I drove into my parking place or my garage at my home, I would take the eraser and I would erase all of that stuff.
Wow.
So that it was gone and I would not think about it again. So that it would not bother me when I walked through the door and I was coming home to my family.
Is there any way that people can correspond with these kids or anything like that?
No. Because of the secrecy and stuff, unfortunately, there isn't.
Right, right. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately. But there is always prayer.
Yes.
There's always prayer. You can always pray every day, God, for all the children that are hospitalized or sick. I lift them up and I put them into your hands. I ask you, God, if it is your will that you would get them better. If it is not your will to get them better, God, I pray that you would just help their symptoms. Get their symptoms taken care of so that they are feeling better. Give them hope. And I lift up their families, God, because I know that there is anxiety and there is pain and suffering in the families. And God, I know that they also are taking care of their other family members, and I pray that there is less angst between them, you know, because they can get so upset with each other that they can have fights. So God, I pray that you'll lessen that type of stuff also between them. And I thank you, God, for all you do in taking care of these little children and their families, God. And God, I'm going to lift up also the staff members in the hospitals. God, they're working hard, and they have children also. They have families also. Please take care of the staff, because they might not be feeling good today. They might have a cold or a migraine. They might be working, right, and they've got a migraine. So God, help them in taking care of their migraine, God. So thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, because we appreciate that also, Lord. Thank you so much for all you do. And God, I just ask you to take care of all the children, the families, and the staff, and God, the chaplains, and all the people that are working. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Well, Kay, thank you very much for being with us. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Now it's my turn to play a couple songs. I'm going to start things out with one called Softly and Tenderly. Christmas season, all bets are off, folks. So here is the Christmas song, also known as Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. This is an arrangement that I used to play when we did Christmas dinners when I was in high school in my choir, and I've loved it all the years since. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I hope all you out there enjoyed my arrangement of the Christmas song as well. If you like that, you're going to love our Christmas concert later this month, coming out in a bonus episode. Until then, have a wonderful month and God bless you, folks.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.
I'm sorry, Lord.